News brief. Stocks plunged today, the Dow losing 410 points. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger says the trading on today's markets reflects the latest jobs report, which says hiring picked up slightly.
For the 3 months through August, so June, July, and August, we average 116,000 jobs a month.
It's a legal victory for former President Trump as a New York judge has postponed sentencing in the hush money case. Former federal prosecutor Lori Levinson says that does not erase his 34 criminal convictions.
It will still be known to the public that he's been convicted, but you won't see Trump being formally sentenced or even possibly going to jail while he's still running for president.
Sentencing now set for November 26th, and a 14-year-old suspect in the Georgia high school shooting officially charged with murder in the deaths of two students and two teachers. CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Democratic vice presidential nominee Tim Walz tells Civic Media's Chad Holmes there's more that unites Americans than divides.
I just reject this notion that there's two Americas, whether it's red or blue, or there's two Americas, urban and rural. This country has been strong because of both.
Walz says he won six terms in a Republican-leaning U.S. House district by making compromises without compromising his principles. Wisconsin is making it easier for low-income students to get their driver's licenses. The program aims to reduce barriers and curb reckless driving. The Department of Transportation's new grant program covers 30 hours worth of classroom time, 6 hours of observation, and 6 hours of on-the-road instruction. The grants will be awarded on a first-come, first-served basis. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following are upcoming meetings in the listening area for Monday, September 9th. In Wood County, the Public Safety Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the courthouse in Room 114. The Wisconsin Rapids Planning Commission will meet at 4. The WRPS regular Board of Education meeting will begin at 6. The Village of Port Edwards will have their Police and Fire Commission meeting at 5. The town of Grand Rapids will hold their plan commission meeting at 6. In Portage County, the joint meeting of Finance and Space and Properties Committees will begin at 4:30. The County Finance Committee will meet at 5. The Personnel Committee meeting will begin at 6. The Board of Public Works meeting at 6:30. The Public Police and General Government meeting at 6:40. And the Stevens Point Finance Committee meeting begins at 6:50. The Village of Whiting will hold their plan commission meeting at 5. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The NFL season is underway. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Last night, the Kansas City Chiefs defeated the Baltimore Ravens 27-20. Tonight, it'll be the Green Bay Packers taking on the Philadelphia Eagles in Brazil to open up the Packers campaign. Head coach Matt LaFleur is excited to get started.
This is a great stage to be on. We're going to be the only game on in the world, and you get to go do it in a place that's never been done before. So it's a great opportunity for our guys to go out there and show what they're all about.
Kickoff tonight is after 7 p.m. You can hear the game on WRJN in southeastern Wisconsin, WRCO in southwestern Wisconsin, and WCQM in northern Wisconsin. Today is the start of a three-game homestand for the Brewers as they take on the Colorado Rockies. Milwaukee leads the NL Central by 9 games over the Chicago Cubs entering play today. The Brewers have lost 3 of their last 4 games, all of them in extra innings. And tonight is the third week of high school football in Wisconsin. Check your local Civic Media station for matchups. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
We are the boy band.
Your tween made you see.
We are the boy
band. It's painful concert number 3.
We are the boy band. We're 5 and 19.
We are the boy band.
Always singing on key.
You love your kids enough to take them to see their favorite band. Love them enough to make sure they're buckled up in the back seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and cold tonight, lows upper 30s. A beautiful weekend is ahead with sunshine. Highs in the mid-60s Saturday and mid-70s Sunday. Highs climb through the 80s next week. Dry weather ahead with more sunshine. Currently at 64 degrees.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we welcome former State Senate Majority Leader Democrat Tim Cullen to the program to talk about his new book and great foundation helping Wisconsinites. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Midday Magazine for this Friday, September 6, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. In part two, we're going to be joined by our great friends from the Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Central Wisconsin. Beth is going to be with us. We're looking forward to talking with them and about some really cool things they have going on. Right now, a conversation we look forward to every month when he joins us, Wisconsin State Representative Scott Krug. Scott, it is good to have you with us. How are you?
I'm great. I'm excited. Apparently, I came and talked today. How about that? Yeah. Good to be here, man. Yeah.
It's good to have you with us, man, and great to hear from you. Scott, first thing I want to start off with, we talked about this a little bit already, but you've been doing a lot more traveling. You have a different district that you're covering right now. I'm curious, one, are you getting all your steps in? And two, how are you enjoying it?
Yeah, steps have not been a problem in the last 2 weeks, and they probably won't be until November 5th. So that's the good side of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, it's really interesting just having the new district that I have. I mean, I still obviously have the greater Rapids area and northern Adams County that I've always had, but now it's gone a little further south into Adams and Friendship, and then especially across the lake over to Juneau County. So getting down and around there, and you know, I've made more trips around Castle Rock Lake this last 2 months than I have the last 10 years. So I think we're going to try to put a bridge project into the next state budget so it's easier to get across that darn thing. But yeah, it's neat. It's fun being back in Juneau County where I was a sheriff's deputy back in the 90s and seeing all the things that have changed the last 25 years and seeing all the people again. So it's been fun, actually.
Good to hear. Really good to hear. What is some of the feedback you're getting as you're traveling around, knocking on doors, talking to citizens, constituents?
Well, the funny thing is still after 14 some years of knocking on doors that I still run into more doors than not who say, well, nobody's ever been here before, or, you know, I just moved here. So, I mean, it's always new voters. It seems that you don't expect after doing this time after time after time that you still come in. Most of the contacts are actually people who I haven't seen or haven't talked to or haven't met at their door. So it's more of an introduction at this point than anything else. But people that have been around for a while that have built up their relationship already, they get into the issues. You know, we're talking more federal issues come up at the doors than state issues. I mean, people are talking immigration, inflation, and all those things. And, you know, a lot of that stuff that we just don't control at the state level, but that's the top of mind for them because they get force-fed that through the media. You know, every 10 seconds you got an ad on TV about the national elections. And so it's kind of hard to cut through the federal stuff sometimes when you're running a statewide or a state campaign.
Scott, you know, I didn't have this question lined up for you, but just kind of going off of what you were saying there, do you feel that most people you talk to understand your job? Like, know everything you're in charge of. I talk with Lance Plimmel from time to time about this, or even Sheriff Becker comes up sometimes where there are certain things that, yes, you go to your sheriff or you go to your, you know, head of your local city's board or what have you on. And then there are things that, well, that's not in their department. Do you feel that most people you talk to understand what you can do and what you can't do, if you will, for lack of a better way to put it?
You know, usually I'd say most of the contacts that we get are probably people who, you know me at least, but don't know what part of the problem I can help them deal with. So, you know, it's not to denigrate anybody who calls, but yeah, for the most part, people really don't understand the different variations of who can do what. Most of the calls in our office, you know, I have issues with my Social Security check or something like that. Well, that's a federal issue. Or, you know, I wanted to call and find out why you guys didn't pass this HR bill. I'm like, well, that's Congress, you know. So that's always the first part of it. And the second part of it, though, is always like, okay, hey, I know it may not be me directly, but here's the number for somebody that can help you with it, actually. So I really pride myself on just being able to be that resource, even if it's not us that's helping solve the problem. We're going to be the ones that say, hey, call your local ADRC, or hey, call your county, you know, sheriff's department, or call your congressman's office, or here's the number, you know, we can help figure it out that way. But yeah, it's tough for people out there to try to remember who all can do what and how somebody can help when you're going through a really sticky situation. You're not really trying to think about who the exact right person to call is. You just want somebody to help.
I appreciate it. Part of the reason why I enjoy talking with you and I enjoy working with you is you always take that extra step. You do things that not everybody will think of to do, and I appreciate that even if you can't help, you will help direct them in the right, put them in the right direction. I think that's an extra step that not everybody does. I appreciate that, man. And I really hope that I didn't come across there like I was trying to insult my fellow citizens or anything like that, because is a topic that I think is important that we talk about more. And we're open about, I think part of the reason I'm bringing it up, I grew up in a political family. I was tested on this stuff by my grandfather when I was young. I imagine not a lot of people grew up like that. And I want more people to not only be engaged in politics, but understand politics better. I think that leads to only better informed voters, which is how we can kill misinformation in many ways. I think that every opportunity we have to share these things, it's important, because I think oftentimes people don't ask questions because of shame or because they're afraid, oh, I should know this, so asking the question is going to show that I don't know. It's okay if you don't know. There's lots of people out there that don't. This is how we learn. Nobody's going to shame. I don't think anybody should shame anybody for that stuff. I think this is a societal thing, not an individual thing, that we all need to be better about. It's okay if you don't know. You need to ask. Asking somebody like Scott is a great resource and a great way to get the ball rolling and find out more about these things.
Scott, the long run, it even helps me in the long run if somebody calls me and doesn't know exactly what I do or what I can do to help them. But it helps build that relationship for some time down the road if they do need something. Then we've already talked, we've already met. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, most people just won't call, period, because they don't know who to talk to. So that's the bigger thing, is at least reach out and talk to somebody and they can get you on the right path.
Speaking of talking to people, this is something you've been doing. You announced a while ago a series of listening sessions across the district. Are you still doing any of those? How did they go?
Well, now it's all mobile listening sessions now, because we're so far into the campaign season. So now we're back to, you know, foot, step-by-step door knocking here. And, you know, the listening sessions we did have were pretty well attended, actually, especially over in Nisita when we tried that one, just to see what would happen with the new district coming up. I probably had more people at that listening session than I've had at one in the last 10 years. Rapids, we didn't actually have anybody show up at the Rapids one. I mean, that's happened a few times at the library when we've tried to do listening sessions in Rapids, that either it's a nice day out or people are busy or whatever it might be. But
I was doing my one-man show that day, and I made people come see me. I'm a little surprised by that, actually.
Yeah, no, we've seen it a few times where, you know, we do promote it. We do try to get it out as much as we can. And it's really hard to get that message out to people that we're doing something without trying to find a budget to pay for that message, which we really don't have. So we try to, you know, advertise the best we can for those things on Facebook and other social media platforms and other avenues. And if people get there, they get there. If they don't, that's okay. I mean, that's their opportunity to do what they want with it. And I'll sit there on those days, and if nobody shows up, then that's okay. I'll get caught up on some other real estate stuff or something. But
the next time, the next time you do have something like that going on, please always feel free to reach out to us as a station. We will always, let our community know those events are going on, and we want to make sure to promote those. As I always like to say, WFHR has no party. We are not in anybody's hands here. We're not in anybody's pocket or anything like that, and we are adamant about being that and always being that. We will support you and any of our local representatives, no matter what initial is in front of your name. So we want to make sure to, make people know about those things and be able to attend them. I'm happy to hear that, for one, your feet get a little bit of a break, but the sessions for the most part have been attended and been well. That's good to hear.
It's been nice. It's always fun to meet people, and most of the time we don't talk anything controversial. It's just updates, so people shouldn't feel shy about coming if they don't agree with me. That's fine. If you don't, just come and tell me why. Let's figure out what we can do to make something more open and communicative. So just when you see them, just come on out.
One of the things that you've put a lot of effort and time into, especially in the last year or two, is RVs and the value and the importance of RVs. And I imagine you're looking forward to accepting an award here in Kentucky sometime, or you did in August. How did that go?
So I didn't actually get down to Kentucky, so okay. I'm still looking forward to accepting the award because we did not get to go to that conference, unfortunately. So, and it's funny because my wife and I had this conversation, when Labor Day popped up. We're avid campers, right? So we've got our spot down in Bellwood. We camp all summer. We're hardly ever home. The cats live in our house without us. Labor Day comes, we get the camper back, and we're like, okay, time to go home. But it's been nice out, so we're still camping. I mean, it's just one of the ways of life here in Central Wisconsin, and our dealers deserve some of that attention for supplying all the opportunities. So I was happy to help them out and looking forward to receiving that award from that national association, because that's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, no, that really is, man. And I'm looking forward to hearing how it went. Safe travels on it. And I've always wanted to go to Kentucky. Seems like a cool state, beautiful state. We are speaking with Wisconsin State Representative Scott Krug right now. And Scott, last week you attended the Northern Lighting Distinguished Visitors Day at Volk Field. Can you tell us about that, how that went over in Camp Douglas?
I almost forgot about that. That was so cool, right? So now Volk Field is in my district now, and the Hardwood Bombing Range is in my district now. So just having a chance to go over to Northern Lightning and see everything that goes on over at Volk Field and Camp Douglas was just incredible. So they actually got us up on the control tower, and there's the catwalk outside the control tower. So you're standing up on top of that catwalk, and these F-16s and F-35s are flying around. So all the dignitaries standing out around this catwalk, open great catwalk, looking down 80 feet. Like, I'm not a heights guy anyways, but I'm like, okay, I'll try it. And then the control tower has the F-35, like, buzz the tower when we're standing out there. I'm like,
that's awesome.
I'm holding on with both hands just because I'm out there anyways, right? Yeah, and then this F-35 comes screaming towards you as loud as could be. You want to cover your ears, but I'm like, no, I'm not going to cover my ears because I want to hang on because it's 80 feet up in the air. So it was awesome. I mean, just seeing all the details of what they go through every day there and the size of that base that I honestly have not been to before. It's just been outside of my district for the entire time I've been in the legislature. So now it's right there. It's right on the edge of it. So now we're full bore into all the things that go along with Camp Douglas and trying to make sure they get the funding they need to achieve the mission they have of preparing our Air National Guard for anything that may come up in the future. So it's now on the priority list, having seen it and done it and representing it. And now it's a whole new level of responsibility.
We really appreciate our people over there and the work that's being done, and great to hear the attention given to that. That you had a great time, and that everybody did. That sounds like a blast. I got to get in on that. That sounds like a lot of fun. This happened recently, but we did not have a chance to touch on it, Scott, so rewinding a little bit to Assembly Bill 945. I feel not only is this an important one, but it touches on local businesses here in Rapids. This is can we catch people up on this bill?
Yeah, so Assembly Bill 945 kind of sprang from a visit I had with folks from UniFirst, who obviously have a facility in Wisconsin Rapids. Maybe most people don't know about it, but they basically felt they were left out of this manufacturer and agricultural tax credit we passed years ago, because UniFirst actually does take, uniforms, repair them, remanufacture them into something, and They felt that, you know, their work actually should qualify under the manufacturer's tax credit so they could afford to do more things for their employees. So we went through the existing tax credit and figured out a way to change it a bit that would allow UniFirst to take advantage of it. We were not successful. The bill did not go through because the Democrats and the governor decided we don't want to expand this tax credit at this time, so they did not want to sign on to it as a bipartisan bill like I've usually seen most of, if not all, of my bills end up being. We just could not get any support from the other side to help add to a manufacturer's tax credit, which when it was passed originally was kind of controversial on, you know, partisanship basis, but it, you know, it's 10 years into it already and shouldn't be controversial anymore. So I'm looking forward to trying to go back and helping UniFirst, you know, get through that process and, you know, expand their ability to have a production facility in Wisconsin Rapids, because it is literally the only reason we did the bill, was just to protect their ability to be in a place like Wisconsin Rapids.
I got to tell you how much, and journalistically, I'll mention, before I started my radio career 20-some years ago, the last job I worked at was G&K in the industrial park, a textile company. They're not called that anymore, but back then, that's what they were, G&K Services. I worked right next door to ServiceMaster and UniFirst and some of the other businesses in our industrial park, and no hard work, the hard work that gets done over there. It's a forgotten job. It's an industry and a forgotten part of our you know, that we don't put enough time or effort into when it comes to some of these bills, and it was really frustrating to me to see that bill not pass. These are people, and these are some of the hardest working people in your community, and you would know if they are not there. And these tax credits can go so far for a business like that. That I'm not sure. I've looked a little bit into these things, but not that detailed. This is an industry that's not hurting, I want to say, but they're losing certain things, and bigger businesses are eating up other businesses. And in order to help local businesses, you need things like this, and especially when they're bipartisan. I really appreciate not only you not letting this go and keeping on, you know, moving forward with it, but hopefully getting it done. You know, they could use it.
Well, it's interesting because when we passed that tax credit back in the day, when it first became a reality, there was another small business in the industrial park that ended up being able to offer a long-term disability program to their employees from the savings of it. I mean, these are real dollars that these companies can put right back into their employees and helping them stay competitive in the marketplace to keep the employees when everybody else is starting to pay higher wages and better benefits. These small businesses need this edge here and there to be able to compete. So whether it's, you know, in the industrial park, which I still have a huge affiliation for because that's where this station was, right?
Mm-hmm.
I
mean, yep.
We used to come down there every month and just kind of go through that industrial park and see who was all still in there, in Wisconsin Rapids, still manufacturing.
Yeah,
that's something we have to really pay attention to, is that we just need to keep making things in Wisconsin Rapids, and we're losing that ability more and more every year.
Yeah, well said. Scott, your staff was honored recently to accept the Early Detection Lifesaver Award on behalf of and recognition of the efforts to advance important legislation aimed at early detection of breast cancer in the previous legislative session. Congratulations to, or I don't know if that's the right words, but a big, you know, tip of the hat to you, your staff. I imagine that had to feel pretty good and noteworthy.
It is. I mean, it's always, you know, it's great to end up putting those, you know, awards on the shelf and, you know, seeing the pictures and, you know, feeling the appreciation for people who present them. But in the bigger scheme of things, I think we all know somebody who has been affected by cancer in our lives. And any chance that the legislature has to do some common sense bills to, you know, provide for more funding for early detection and prevention and all these other things, I don't know why we don't do more of that. You know, honestly, every year, but it's when you take the opportunity to do it, it really is recognized, and it's great to be recognized.
Yeah, and I appreciate where you went with that, where I wanted to too, and anytime we are talking about cancer or cancer research or anything that can be done to destroy cancer, we all need to be getting behind it and paying attention to it and doing whatever we can to help with that topic. While we argue and bicker, especially years like this and times like this, about political parties and this or that and whatever, these diseases are making the rounds on us and laughing. They don't care. They don't care who's in your pocket, who is an R, who is a D, young, old man, woman, they don't care. So we need to come together as a people, as a society, put away our differences and focus on some of the real battles that we need to be focusing on. And one of them is cancer. And it's great to see that, not only for you and your staff and the work that's being done on this, but to bring attention to this as well. Always appreciate being able to do that any opportunity we have.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I mean, the actual details of the bill. I mean, it ends up that Wisconsin is going to be one of the biggest research hubs for cancer research in the country because the bill was able to help leverage federal dollars and better designation for our state to be a research hub. So, I mean, it's not even just initially for breast cancer awareness and prevention. This is for a major research development, kind of coordination and cooperation with the federal government and private companies around the world that are going to start using Wisconsin, our university system, our individuals who live here as the backbone for future research. So it's just, you know, some of those things get lost in the shuffle. And like you said, in a year like this where everybody's bombarded with vote for me or don't vote for so-and-so because blah, 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 forgetting about the real things that we do on an everyday basis is pretty easy. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, I love talking about these things a lot more than that other stuff because that other stuff is just not real life. I don't, you know, it's just like it's here for two more months and then it's gone. And then what are we doing after that? Right. We got to keep our nose down and keep our bills coming out and ideas flowing. So try not to get distracted these next 2 months with all that, you know, silliness that you see on TV and hear on radio and all that other stuff.
Got to save some attention for playoff baseball. Getting excited?
Yeah, man, I tell you, I finally got to the point where I was trying to watch the Brewers a little bit more and more, but it seems like every time I turn them on, they lose, and every time I don't watch them, they win. So I'm like, maybe I just check the box score the day after from now on.
No, I hear you. Now, see, this happens to me every time, but I'm a White Sox fan. So, it, of course, that's going to happen to me. All I got to do is look at that team and get sad. With the Brewers, who I live vicariously through my brother, who was a diehard Brewer fan and friends like you and stuff, I'm excited for this team and to see what they do in the playoffs because I feel like because of Pat Murphy, I feel like you're going to have a very different playoff team than you have had in years past. And a team that unlike a lot of teams that I see in nowadays, they can be down 7 runs and you look in that dugout and they're all engaged. There's no heads down. There's nobody, you know, kicking dirt or feeling sorry for themselves. They're still trying to figure out how to get back in that game. That is playoff mentality. And Pat Murphy has really instilled that in these players. That's going to be pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's nobody's really playing for their contract. Nobody's worried about their next endorsement deal. It's all these young no names that are just trying to keep a spot on a team for next year, and they're all contributing. And when one's down, the next guy's up, and it's been steady. So, you know, you always wonder what's going to happen when you don't have Corbin Burns and Woodruff, and then Yelich goes out, and you're like, okay, it's over. I mean, it's a typical thing every year. It's like, okay, that was fun. Mm-hmm. Now it's done. But now you're even seeing like national outlets like MLB Network and everything put out odds of who's the best team to have the chance to win the World Series, and the Brewers are the top of that list right now. It's like, wait, this is going to be fun. So I can't wait to watch the rest of the season. Well, not watch the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. Follow the rest of the season because, like I said, when I watch, it just doesn't
Scott, great conversation as always. Always appreciate the time. If people have follow-up questions, want to be able to talk to you about some other things, how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, this phone's always on every step, every door, and the phone rings constantly all through the day while I'm doing those, it seems, but not when I'm not busy. So let's try to do it when I'm not so busy at 715-323-3293.
Always appreciate the time. Safe travels out there. We'll talk again next month.
Yeah, you bet. Take care.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
It's that time of year again. The fall sports season is about to kick off, and you'll want the best seat in the house so you can get in on all the action. But when it's time to go, you know, to use the facility, you want the best seat there too. That's why you should call Crockett Septic. Crockett Septic can provide porta-potty rentals for a competitive price and provide reliable service to ensure your porta-potty seat will always be a good one too. Wait a second. What if you stay home to watch the game? You better make sure your throne is ready to go, especially if you have friends coming over. Many area counties right now are sending out reminder cards that it's time to get your septic pumped. So call Crockett Septic and they'll take care of that right away so you'll have the best seat in the house.
Crockett Septic, be there in a jiff. Crockett Septic, no more nasty whiff. Crockett Septic, they won't make you cry. Their bumper trucks smell just like cherry pie.
Yeehaw! You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/older adults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden says enough is enough after Wednesday's mass shooting at a school in Georgia.
More children are killed or die from a gunshot wound than any other reason in the entire United States. Every disease, every accident, everything.
Biden made the comments in Wisconsin yesterday while announcing a $7 billion investment in rural green energy. A newly unsealed warrant shows murder suspect Maxwell Anderson tried to cover up Sharday Robinson's death by sending a text message to her phone the next day after the two went on a date in April. Prosecutors say Anderson also dismembered the 19-year-old college student's body and left pieces throughout southeast Wisconsin and in Illinois. Anderson is set to go on trial in December. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. In the past 2 weeks, five more people have died because of ATV or UTV crashes. The 27 people who have died so far this year range in age from 4 to 79 years old. Well over half of the victims were not wearing a helmet or seatbelt. DNR wardens and local law enforcement will be on trails and routes statewide today through Sunday for an additional Think Smart Before You Start campaign to increase safety. People who live next to wetlands can apply for funding from the Agricultural Conservation Easement Program, or ACEP. The USDA announced the funding is provided by the Inflation Reduction Act for the ACEP for fiscal year 2025. You'll need to apply before October 4th or by December 20th. You can find out more at nrcs.usda.gov/WI. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. It's always nice when one of your favorite shows is renewed and you're told by someone from the cast while on the air. HBO's award-winning show Hacks will have a fourth season. This week on Nightlight, actress Rose Abdu joined the show and told me that she found out Hacks was just renewed last week. Abdu was a great guest and plays the character Josefina on the show, which stars Jean Smart. Check it out. And for the love of God, will you please stop news? There is talk of Ocean's 14 possibly happening. The Ocean's franchise was created so George Clooney and Brad Pitt could work together and pal around. It's actually based on a remake from the 1950s that starred Frank Sinatra that wasn't that great to begin with, but George and Brad need to hang out while sporting great threads on cam. So they recruited All Quiet on the Western Front director Edward Berger to helm what will be the most recently polished turd in the franchise. I'm sorry, I meant film. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and cold tonight. Lows upper 30s. A beautiful weekend is ahead with sunshine. Highs in the mid-60s Saturday and mid-70s Sunday. Highs climb through the 80s next week. Dry weather ahead with more sunshine. Currently, it's 66.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Jane Matinere returns to the big chair, and we are talking about the election because we are less than 2 months away, people. Join us.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Friday, September 6, 2024. I have your host, James, with you. And we're joined right now by our great friend, Beth Konert, Director of Operations of Big Brothers Big Sisters of Central Wisconsin. Beth, did I get close with the last name
this
time?
You did awesome, James. Yeah. I'm so impressed.
It helps that we've talked before. It does help. And I appreciate your time, Beth. I always like to mention, a little behind the curtain or a little journalistic integrity or what have you. This is one of my favorite programs in America. I love the Big Brothers Big Sisters program. It's something that I was fortunate enough to be a part of. It's something that as a kid I would like to have been a part of. Mm-hmm. It's an important program in our communities that I feel like we never seem to get enough time to spend on it. And I'm really happy that I saw you on the schedule this week. I was really excited that you guys were going to be in and we could talk about it today. Thanks a lot for being here.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
September is Big Brothers Big Sisters month too, so perfect time to have you in. What a great timing. And shout out to Pam and you for setting this up, by the way. So this is a big deal for Big Brothers Big Sisters.
It is. Every September is a big deal as we mark the Big Brothers Big Sisters month, but this year in particular it's an even bigger deal. So 2024 marks the 120th anniversary for overall our national office of Big Brothers Big Sisters of America. We are so fortunate to be an affiliate and be a part of that 120 year history, and we know so many amazing stories and lives have been changed over that 120 years, and we can't wait to see what the next 120 brings.
Yeah, that's so impressive to me. And while I mentioned, and part of the reason I brought up my background with this great organization is I know quite a bit about it, and I feel like I know a lot. I didn't know it was 120 years. That's amazing. We're going to be celebrating a birthday next month here at WFHR. We're 80 plus years old. But, I mean, we're young compared to you guys. That's really cool.
80 years, though, is still very impressive.
We're still proud of it. But I can't imagine how proud you and the team are about something like this in a specific year like this, 120th. That's really amazing, especially when with an organization like this, anybody can make such an impact for it. And it doesn't take much to make a big impact.
That is so true. And that's where our tagline of "it takes little to be big" is so incredibly true. It's those everyday moments. You know, I say in every recruitment session, you don't have to bring Disneyland to a child. It really is just being present. Sit down, watch a movie with them, play a board game, have a conversation, toss a football around in a park, go to a library and talk about what books that they're interested in. It's really that simple. It does not have to be these big, grandiose moments, because really what kids need is that one-to-one undivided attention where somebody's listening to them and caring what they're talking about.
I grew up collecting baseball, football, basketball cards, things like that. My little brother got into Magic the Gathering cards, and I had no idea what these things were. Right. We spent hours talking about these things and him explaining them and everything. And while I still don't know much about those cards, I enjoyed so much his energy and how much he got into it and passionate about talking about it. That's where the time, not all the time we spent together was, but oftentimes we go to the park or something like that, it would come back to those cards and he got a new one, how excited he was to get a new one or something like that. It's such a great point to make that it almost doesn't matter what you're doing or what you're talking about so much as you being engaged in showing to this young person that you're listening to them. You're making eye contact. You care about them. You care about what they say and what their passions are.
And you're asking those follow-up questions. I think that's the biggest deal. And I love that you talked about that because we had a match in that very similar situation where our little brother loved Pokemon cards and had this game that, like, this board game that went along with it. And in doing match support, I was talking to the big brother, and he's like, honestly, Beth, I have no idea what I was doing in that game. But he kept, like, encouraging me, and he was teaching me. And he's like, to watch his face light up, he goes, I didn't care how many times I messed up. And he had to be like, no, that's not quite right. But he was the one that got to be teaching me, and his excitement was just infectious. And I think that's the biggest thing is, like, taking on their interest. Even if you don't understand it, it's such a good learning tool, and it gives them that confidence boost because it's something that they care about that they can teach you.
And that got me because I immediately thought of Julio and my little brother. One of the things that I think that is noteworthy about this, as we talk about this, we celebrate 120 years of Big Brothers Big Sisters, is I did that 15 years ago. I can remember that young kid right now. Yep. I could draw him if I could. Well, I can't draw, but I could try. Yep. And I think of those memories very, very fondly. And and this is something that when you give your time and your energy to something like this, it never stops giving back. These memories don't fade. They don't go away. The connections that you make with these kids, it goes so far and really impactful to you, too, as well as them.
And that's, I love that point that you just made, is you can do that as the big. Mm-hmm. It impacted you that much, even 15 years later. But think about that on the little side. Think about what they get to then draw back on and how that carries on through that lifetime. You never know in those moments at 1 hour a week is still with them 15 years later. They're still thinking about those moments, and that's huge. That's where it's those little moments that have such a huge impact and can last a lifetime for them.
I think especially since we don't get to get together nearly enough, Beth, I like to go over the mission statement of what you guys do over there at Big Brothers Big Sisters. This always feels like something good to rehash, to go over again.
So our mission is to create and support one-to-one mentoring relationships that ignite the power and promise of youth. And I think that's the biggest thing, is we truly believe that every child has unlimited potential. Every kid can do amazing things, but sometimes they just need someone in their corner reminding them they can, inspiring them to take a chance and try something new. And sometimes they need that defender of potential just in their corner, being that cheerleader, saying, you've got this, you can do this. You never know how impactful it is to be on the sideline or watching them at a concert or at a dance recital, or just even when they have their first win of anything and be in that cheering section. That's huge for them.
A defender of potential. God, that's good. That's good. You got copyright. That's that good.
I'm pretty sure Nashville has.
Yeah, I think so. Yep. I think so. But it is really good. It hits at home so much of not only the mission, but the vision of what you guys do. And maybe we go over that a little bit, too, of the vision behind what you're
absolutely writing. So that our vision is that all youth achieve their full potential. And that's the biggest thing. And that's the whole reason for having a mentor in a child's life, is that, as I said, every kid has unlimited potential. Sometimes they just don't see that in themselves. And sometimes they don't have that person in that background reminding them of that. And that's where our volunteers come in. That's those things that you can do. You can remind them that they matter, that what they do matters, and they have a big impact on their life. And that's the thing, is that we always want to give our littles a voice and give them that reassurance that you know, their opinions and their views matter, and that's somebody that's going to listen to them.
I think we forget as we, the older we get, of course, certain things about being young. And most of us all realize that voice in your head a lot of times can be negative, mm-hmm. or can be, we can be our own harshest critic.
Absolutely.
But that doesn't just start when we turn 18.
No.
That's something that we feel when we're young, too. And I think we forget about that sometimes. And to be a person on the sideline cheering that kid, cheering that person on, can mean more than we could really put into words.
Absolutely.
It goes so much farther than that. And, Beth, one of the things that we certainly want to do with this time is encourage people to be a big brother or a big sister. But while the organization has been around for a very long time, I don't know that it's common knowledge of what the role takes, what you do in this mentoring program. Mm-hmm. You mind if we go over that a little bit?
Absolutely. So we have two different mentoring programs that we offer in all the communities of Wisconsin Rapids, Marshfield, and the Stevens Point area that we offer. So we have our community-based mentoring, which is our most traditional. When people think of Big Brothers, Big Sisters, this tends to be the program that they think about. And that's where an adult community member takes a child out and about in the community and does really low-cost, no-cost activities. We know that this cannot be a financial burden for our families, but we certainly don't want that to be a financial burden for any of our volunteers. So it really is as simple as taking a walk, taking a bike ride, going to play in a park, going on the swings together, going to a library or a community event. I think we live in an area where we have so many fun, great things that are family friendly, but that are free to access. And that's the biggest thing. And that program, you're meeting once a week for about an hour. So really, everybody has an hour that you can find to do this in all reality. But then we also offer what's known as site-based mentoring. What this is that we partner with local elementary schools here in the Wisconsin Rapids area. That's Howe Elementary. And an adult goes into the school and meets with them for anywhere from about 30 minutes up to an hour, depending on availability. And they do just basic things like playing board games, doing an arts and crafts project, maybe going outside to play or having lunch, you know, thinking about back in those days of that square slice of pizza on Fridays that you get to sit down and enjoy with a child. That's how I started my passion. Was I was a site-based big sister, and now way too many years, and we're not going to put a number on that, I get to sit and be director of operations.
Wow.
So it's awesome that it's come so full circle.
Thank you for sharing that. That
Absolutely.
Is really cool. I didn't know that. Good on you. That is very cool to hear. And it's also, I think, noteworthy here because you're so right about this. Most people, even when I've brought this topic up to people, they will talk about sometimes, I don't know what to do with a child. I wouldn't mm-hmm. mind doing this, but I don't know what to do. Giving the ideas for activities is something that, you know, you and your team do. Mm-hmm. And keeping in mind that it doesn't have to be much more than taking a walk to the park or something like that. We are so fortunate in this area to have so many different activities, Absolutely. Like you mentioned. And so many of them are free. Our zoo or some of these other things. And so many other things that are low cost as well. But I really appreciate that we can talk about the site-based part of this, too. Mm-hmm. Not only with your personal history to that, and a shout out to Howe Elementary too, but also the time commitment there is even almost easier for some people to manage,
right.
and for some people, and I don't know you this part I don't know, Beth, if I wanted to, just using me as an example, I wanted to start as a site-based Big Brother, but maybe I get more time freed up, or maybe I feel more comfortable with the doing mm-hmm. something like this, and I want to become a community-based more mentor. Can you do that? Can you kind of switch around a little?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question, and I have to do a huge shout-out to the Wisconsin Rapids area. You guys are our gold star with that. Oh, we've had so many adult volunteers that have started out at that Howe because they're like, you know, I'm not sure. Like, mm-hmm. It can be intimidating to just all of a sudden take someone else's child
yeah.
and play with them in a park. And we completely respect that. So that's where starting in that site base where you kind of have that support from the school mm-hmm. staff. And, you know, you're working more like individually, but you have people around should you need something. But the amount that then we approach that end of the school year and they're like, wait a second, I won't see them until September of next year. I don't think I like that.
Yeah.
So the number of volunteers that we've had transition either to like a hybrid of the two where it's like a site-based plus where they can still tend to meet in school during the school year, but then like on those off periods, yeah. they have more option to be out and about, or to straight community-based. And it is truly awesome that they have that much invested that they're like, nope, I want to do more.
It's really cool of the organization, the schools, everybody involved in this to understand, you know, as a parent, one of the things that I know that is one of the most important things as a parent, backup. You got backup. I'm joking a little bit, but there is something to that, as you noted. Absolutely. I think that's a key part of this. But, you know, and I appreciate the noteness about the area and how well this area has performed in those departments and in that. It's really cool to hear, very encouraging to hear. But it's also noteworthy that there is a wait list for kids.
There is. So in our total service area, there's 82 children, which I have to say is our highest number since COVID.
Yeah, it hits my heart. That's hard.
And I always say I can't wait to work myself out of a job that someday there's not going to be kids that need our program. Right. But I also know that the need continues to rise. But here in the Wisconsin Rapids area, we have 12 children that want a positive role model in their life. And I stress the word want. This is not something that someone else can want for them and make them do. All 12 of these kids want this and has expressed that to our staff. And it's been interesting because for a long time in Rapids, our main wait list has been little brothers. And suddenly this summer that kind of flipped a little bit. We've had a tremendous outpouring of little sisters that are in need. But I still mention, even though our number of waiting little brothers have decreased, I would say most all of them do not have a consistent male role model in their life that are waiting. So that need for big brothers continues to be there. While our big sisters can definitely be matched with our little brothers, we know for some of them, they just want that male role model.
Yeah.
Because in their head, you know, moms can't throw a football, so why would a big sister be able to, too?
We certainly appreciate all big brothers, big sisters, and it's very noteworthy what Beth's saying. But there is something to that. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's okay.
Right.
There are certain areas we really need to focus in society, and I think there's somewhere. Can we get some bodies here? Can we get some good people that want to do this job and that could really fit the job? And in this particular circumstance, these kids really could use a male role model in there, or a male person in there to be able to fill this bill. When we're talking about these kids, or we're talking about the different different layers of this that need in the male role model, there's some other details that go along with this, some descriptions about this that I wanted to get into with you.
Absolutely. So all the children in our program can be anywhere from the age of like 6 up to technically 17. However, we don't enroll after roughly about 16, just because we definitely find that at that point, they're kind of getting busy in high school, and their interest in our program kind of diminishes a bit. All the kids are typically referred either by a parent, a teacher, a counselor, a school social worker, maybe an outside therapist. But like I go back to is every child has to tell us they want to do this.
Yeah.
This is not something that somebody else can be like, no, you have to do. No matter how much somebody else wants this, if a child ever tells their staff, I just don't want to do this, we respect that. We give them that voice and give them that choice. But they come from a variety of backgrounds. I always say there's no cookie cutter little.
Yeah.
They are their own individual people. So whether that means they're coming from a single parent home or maybe they have a dual parent home, but we know that parents are working incredibly hard to provide for a child's needs. So sometimes being able to just sit down and play a board game or be out and about in a park, even if there's two of you, it takes a village to raise a child, and we know that, especially if you have multiple kids, because how often do you just get one-on-one time when you have multiple kids living with you? We definitely see that some of our littles in our program are living outside of their typical mom or dad home. You know, maybe they're living with a grandparent or another family member or living in foster care. And so many of the kids that we serve are kind of living below that poverty line. And the reason I point that out, never that that is a bad thing, but that's where it kind of goes back to, it's those little moments. Because I've done this for a long time, and in doing match support, it's so cool when I get to see a child play a certain board game. I don't know what it is about Sorry, but that tends to be the one that, like, their face lights up and they're like, I got to do this for the very first time and it was so much fun. You know, and I reiterate that point is for some of these kids, they just don't have the opportunities that maybe your own children have had or other children that have been in your life. So really those little moments of just going to play in a park or having somebody to play a board game with or introducing them to a new card game or things like that are just things they haven't gotten to do. So it can be this huge impact for them.
so many of us parents remember as our kids, we get this that gift that we know they wanted. We're excited for them to open it on their birthday for Christmas. They open it up. They're playing with the box.
Yes.
They're playing with the box. You spend whatever amount of money on this, and they're playing with the box. This is kids.
Yes.
They don't need a lot. This isn't that complex. You don't have to overthink this. You think with your heart a little bit. You're engaged. You're listening to them. And sure, before you know it, you figure out things that you can do with them. And when it comes to the kind of kid that is in this program and involved in this, I there's at least four or five of these that are my background and I come from, and I know how much this would have benefited me. I know how much I could have used this. I was fortunate. I had some older friends that were almost like big brothers to me, but they were not. They were kids themselves, and that was a difficult thing to grow up with. I come from a very poor community. I come from a violent community, and I know that going back there in recent years and seeing the Big Brothers Big Sisters program, how much that has benefited just 111th, just in my block in Chicago, where I'm from and stuff, just that area, how much has been impacted by this program. I know for a fact that as a Big Brother myself with Julio, he came from a very similar background. So when they had tried to pair him with a couple of people, it didn't work out. When he got paired with me, I knew what he was going through a bit.
Right.
We were able to relate on a different level and hit it off right away. I don't think it's a coincidence. I think that those of you that come from similar backgrounds to this, me just speaking for myself, I felt a responsibility to, hey, I got the time to do something like this. And part of the reason I made it through a lot of that stuff is some of the bigger influences I had, older friends, my dad, something like that. Here's a chance for me to pay it forward. Here's a chance for me to do something and maybe help this kid. And that stuff goes so much farther, not only karma-wise or just being able to, make full circle moment, but the good that you feel from that, there are no words for it, let alone the most important part of this, what you can do for that young mind and that young person.
And the two things that I want to just take from that is you were fortunate to have, those older friends, but that were decent role models. The big thing is, and one of the things I also say in recruitment sessions is that if we don't find positive influences, negative influences are going to find a child.
Right.
And even with positive influences, we know that that can still happen. But the more positivity and resilience that you can surround a child with, the more they're able to walk away from those negative things. And that's the biggest thing. That's where those mentoring points come in.
Yeah.
And, I really think about that as what you said of, your little brother was tried to be matched with somebody else, and it took you having that common ground. And that's what we do. So we do a full interview process with both the parent and child, or in our safe base with our littles. But then we also do that with every volunteer, because we match completely based on interests and personalities and backgrounds, because we try and give the strongest foundation to a match possible. So that way you can make the longest, strongest match possible. We know that for a child that only wants to play video games and, thinks he's going to melt in the sun is probably not going to want to be with the most outdoorsman person.
Right.
We know that sometimes that's a good thing because it opens doors, but it sometimes makes those first few months really challenging. So that's why we do try and have common interests that we can build upon and then kind of build in those new interests or hobbies.
And there are so much benefits for this, for these kids, for the individual, the big brother, the big sister. As we got about just a minute or two left, Beth, I do want to wrap up with the benefit from having assistance.
Absolutely. So we know that there are so many benefits, whether that child is gaining confidence, they know how to go up to friends and be like, hey, can I play with you? They know how to be a good friend because they practice it while they're with you and taking turns and active listening and things. We know that it improves family relationships because the parent isn't trying to do everything completely on their own. And we also see educational benefits, especially in our site base. The number of educators that we have say a little will show up on the day that they know their big is coming because they don't want to miss out. So their attendance is better when they're in that program. And overall, they have someone that is just for them. It is one-on-one, and it is undivided attention for somebody that's going to listen to them and care about them, and that is huge for anyone.
Always a good conversation with you, Beth. Appreciate the great work that you, your team, are doing in our communities. If people want to find out more and maybe even become a big brother or big sister, how can they do that?
Absolutely. So they can reach out to us either by phone at 715 715- 541-0661 or by visiting our website at bigimpact.org.
That website again, bigimpact.org. Be sure to bookmark that. Follow the Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Central Wisconsin on social media. It's a great follow. And share their posts on your pages. You just never know who might see these things that wouldn't otherwise. Beth, we'll talk again real soon. We got to get you back soon, okay?
Right? I appreciate that. Thank you so much, James.
Appreciate you. Have a great weekend.
You too.
We say a big thank you to our heart of this station, Pam Hilke, and the great scheduling job that she does week in and week out. We appreciate you, Pam. Have a great weekend, everybody. Be good to each other. We will talk to you sooner than later right here at 97.5 FM 1320 AM WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
The Todd Alba Show.
Happy Labor Day to you. So there are companies out there who do value the worker, but there are a lot who still don't. And that's why I think it's so important to stop today and remember those who fought so hard and what this day is about. Yes, go out, have a beer, have a brat, enjoy it. But take a minute to pause, reflect, and say thanks to all those people who sacrificed for working people.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious?
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Dom Salvia, who joins me to talk about his new show here on Civic Media. And it's a bar band Friday night as Max Inc.'s Terry Barr brings new music and sparkling conversation.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Today's U.S. Bowling League Day. I am not in a bowling league. I think that would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to bowl. But
you got the bowling shirt going on tonight there, Pete.
I do have the bowling shirt. In case the game breaks out, I'm ready. Because I was raised, I'm a street bowler, Chris. I'm ready in case a game breaks out. It could happen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.